hard-hitting, intelligent discussion, painstakingly researched, thought-provoking opinions, and deep insight when you need it most. You'll get none of that here. Broadcasting from a secret location deep within America's heartland, Unapologetically Mediocre Studios presents the No Better Than Average podcast with your hosts, Jacob Cazell and Jeff Janey.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the No Better Than Average podcast. I am Jeff Janey, and along with me today is Mr. Jacob Cazell. How's it going, Jacob?
It is going great. How you doing, everybody? I don't know why I say that, because I expect them to answer. Just yell at your radios. Yell at your radios.
I'm doing pretty good. Bringing you another show this week. Get a couple things out of the way, and then we're going to announce a special guest.
Ooh, special guest, special guest.
That's right, special guest. So don't forget, if you want to call in and leave us a comment, a rant, tell us how bad we're doing, tell us how good we're doing. I would like those better, by the way. don't forget that you can give us a call at 317-643-1212. And we will put you on the air if you want us to. We won't if you don't want us to. You can always get in touch with us. We would really appreciate hearing from you. Just wanted to mention again the little contest that we're doing. If you go out and give us a rating on iTunes, take a screenshot of that and email us at feedback@nobettershow.com. We will send you a handy dandy, No Better Than Average podcast sticker that you can place somewhere on your property.
Yeah, they look really nice. So you're going to want one of these,
they,
everybody.
They do.
We didn't make very many of them. So one of these days, they are going to be wildly collectible. Probably not. But you still want one. So hop on there, leave the review, and we will send you a sticker.
We only have one version. It's vinyl. We don't have vinyl and stainless steel and gold. Just vinyl. So
it is premium special vinyl, though.
It is premium vinyl. So, special guest this evening joining us from the Be Our Guest podcast and the Magical Mouse Radio is Mike Rallman from St. Louis. How's it going, Mike?
Oh, it's going great. I was actually just sitting here taking a picture of my MacBook because I'm going to send you guys a rating and a review and send the picture in because I have a perfect spot for that picture on my MacBook. It'll look beautiful.
Awesome. Jeff's got one on his MacBook. They look nice.
Mine's in my upper right-hand corner. Yeah, I sure do.
Now, is this one of the brand new MacBooks?
Oh, no. Remember, I'm a school teacher, and this is district issued. It's actually one of the very first iPad Airs, though, and I'm really in love with this machine. So,
yeah, those are really, really nice.
So, Mike, we brought you on here today to talk a little bit about your past, your history, and you know, really, I'm very interested in a few things specifically around the radio station, but we'll get to that in a few. So give us a little bit about your background. How did you start out in the world of broadcast over the interwebs?
Man, that's a long story, but so I guess I can trace this back to my dad, who is he's a DJ here in St. Louis, or was on the oldie station. He's been on most of the stations, actually, in St. Louis. And he's the current engineer for the Rams radio network, the St. Louis Rams. So he travels with them and goes into the booth and sets everything up on game day and runs all the coaches' shows throughout the week. And he works for ESPN radio here in St. Louis. And so I've been immersed in this stuff basically, you know, my whole life, and I have a passion for it. But I've noticed with broadcasting that you can also go in on a Monday and all of a sudden not have a job. So my real profession, I'm an elementary school teacher of gifted students. So I have a stable gig, and then I get to have fun by doing podcasts and running a radio station. So, you know, and Disney's a cool thing. It's just fun. You know, it's a great avenue to pursue, but I was looking, and you guys can kind of back me up on this, cause you guys also kind of monitor the Disney podcast. And I know, Jeff, you had Beta Mouse. So you're in that hemisphere there that, it's amazing if you look at how many niche podcasts there are out there, especially in the Disney area. You know, there used to be maybe 5 to 7, and I would guess maybe there's 70 or 80 nowadays. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a market that is very well represented.
I had no idea that people were so into it until I met Jeff, you know, gosh, how many years ago has it been now, and been introduced to some of the Beta Mouse people and some of the other podcasts that we've talked to. It is amazing that people are so passionate about it.
You know, I think it speaks to the the accessibility of things like podcasting now. And that kind of gets in. I love being on a tech podcast because I never get to talk about, you know, this kind of stuff on our shows. But, you know, you look at Meerkat and Periscope in the last month or so, and it's so easy from a smartphone. You can live broadcast anything anywhere in the world. And podcasting is kind of the same way. You know, you don't need a big rig and a big studio, even though a lot of us have invested, obviously, a lot of money in these things. I'm seeing your guys set up and mine looks similar. So, yeah, it's really something that if you have the passion, you don't necessarily need to spend a ton of money to put on a good show nowadays.
No, it's amazing really what you can do with almost no investment. And, you know, the hard part obviously is always getting, you know, getting heard out there, but the ability to put out a show that sounds, you know, almost as every bit as good as what the people who are getting paid big bucks to do it. It's really kind of empowering and amazing that we're at that point in time.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And, you know, I have this, my dad supported me and helped me get this running because I'm not an engineer type. So he set up the studio, ran the rig. Cause we used to go back when we started, we had the phone hybrid to take calls. So we would actually use a landline into a phone hybrid, into the mixer. And I had to give out my house phone number to do that, but I didn't care, you know, who's going to prank me, you know, only a couple people did. But now you can use Skype to take calls and so forth. But, you know, it's amazing and it's a lot of fun. So, you know, I encourage people to give it a shot. I've helped a couple folks start their podcasts in the last few months, and you know, there's plenty of room. Everybody's got their voice and a different angle, and you know, more content for all of us listeners. Because I'm definitely a podcast fan.
Very cool. How long have you been doing the Be Our Guest podcast?
We just celebrated 7 years last month. So yeah, it's and the good thing about our show, the one thing, you know, we've kind of grown over the years and had a great time and got to do so many cool things, but never missed a show in those 7 years. And that's the thing I'm most proud about because I have a great wife, supportive kids. There's been some times that I hurt my back early on and I had to do a couple shows on some pretty strong painkillers, but we made it through and we just love being there for our listeners and they're good to us. So it's a fun hobby. I love heading down to the studio and getting to talk with so many friends around the world.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I can't even imagine being, you know, here 7 years later. That's really super impressive. What have we been doing, Jeff? Almost 6 months now?
Just about 6 months.
Totally, so, you know, the new kids.
Absolutely.
I remember though when Betamouse was new, you know, it was like, that's awesome. And I still lament the day you guys went off the air because it was like, I love technology and I love Disney and you guys, I know the time had to come. I mean, I understand all the dynamics, but nobody's happy about it still, Jeff. We're still angered. Bring it back.
Yeah. I miss it sometimes and you know, well, it was so hard with five people. I mean, I'm sure you can understand that because, you know, you have a cast of people that, you know, join you and it's just become so difficult with five people to schedule it. And especially, you know, we had one person on Central Time and two people in the Pacific Time and two people on the East Coast. And it just got to be really hard to just get everybody together. And then we had, you know, Henry got a job with Disney and that complicated things. And of course, since then now, you know, there's more than just Henry at Disney. Katie's at Disney now too. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't think we're ever going to get the band back together, but
that's okay. It's out there, you know, and I go back and occasionally listen to the old shows and, you know, still get a kick out of them because you guys were right on with a lot of things. You might not have called it the right thing, but you guys were right on. So I love the merging of Disney and technology and I love being on a tech show today. This is a ton of fun for me.
Well, we're going to put you on the spot with some tech stuff here in a little bit. So I hope you brought your A-game.
I'm ready, okay. Man. I'm ready.
So, you know, obviously I understand what it takes to do a podcast and we've talked a little bit about that on our show as well. What does it take to start an internet radio station? I mean, what made you think, you know, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get all this music and I'm going to have a radio station. I mean, and you have, you know, really good stuff, good transition stuff going on. I mean, where did the inspiration come from? And then maybe talk a little bit about what does it take to do that?
Well, you know, again, I love the Disney community and just the online community in general that way back in the day. Now this shows what a nerd I am from way back. I ran a BBS here in St. Louis for years and years. One of the bigger ones back on a Commodore 64. So I'm speaking to if I talked about that on my podcast, nobody would know.
SysOps represent. I had,
that's right. That was it. I was lefty there in St. Louis, and we had the Far Side BBS. It was very awesome. Fun. We may or may not have had wares on our site that kept us going and great discussions and so forth. But since back then, I wanted to have, you know, something where it was an outlet, you know, a communication tool. And the podcast is great for that. I think it's because I'm a talk radio person. I don't listen to music very much. You know, my kids crack up because they say I'm the 85-year-old man in the car because I do not listen to music. But the station with Magical Mouse Radio and the Disney music, it takes me back to my favorite place. And running the station actually is not as tough as you might imagine. You know, I got my inspiration from Mike Newell from Mouse World Radio. He's kind of the grandfather of all this. And I just had a collection of music from over the years from various places and wanted to get that out there and kind of put my spin on my playlist and how I would run a station. But I think it all gets back to Mike Newell and Mouse World Radio from way back at the beginning, and a tip of the hat to Mike.
Yeah, he definitely is an amazing guy. So
so how does that work? I mean, I know Disney is very fan friendly, but what are some of the, I don't know, the challenges maybe from a copyright or a licensing standpoint that you have to be concerned about when you're, you know, doing something with copyrighted material? And, you know, it's not like Disney's a small little company. I mean, they definitely, if they don't like something that you're doing, you're going to know about it.
Yeah, I think that's it. And, you know, none of us benefit financially from using any of this stuff. So I think that's the main thing, is that we're not getting any kind of financial gain by playing this music. And actually, it's quite the opposite, because I would think folks that tune into any of our Disney streaming radio stations are, you know, it keeps the product fresh in their minds, brings back memories of, you know, trips gone by, of extinct area music, extinct attractions and so forth. And, you know, we do pay royalties on anything that we can, because, you know, most of the stations are hosted through Live 365, which is a streaming radio station business out of San Francisco. And, you know, running a radio station through Live 365 is in no way inexpensive. It's pretty expensive. And the big part of that is that every track does have royalty coverage back to the artists and the composers and the, you know, everybody. So we are paying royalties on every track that we play, and it keeps track of how many people are tuned in at any certain given moment, so they know, you know, how to distribute that right. audio or that money. But I'll be honest, you know, the background loops and so forth, they're not necessarily royalty friendly tracks, because they're just, a lot of it's ambient sounds and so forth. And Disney's never said anything with that. So, you know, we're kind of like a don't ask and hopefully nothing will happen kind of thing, because, you know, there's really no harm in it, in my opinion. And I think it's beneficial to Disney in the long run.
They have to know about it. They have to be okay with it. I mean, I'm sure they're not going to officially say they're okay with it, but they know.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I just don't think there's a harm in it, because I think now if somebody goes out there and actively uses, you know, the Inventions loop to somehow, you know, use a project that's going to bring in money and, you know, could put Disney in a bad light, then I could totally see them going and trying to shut that down. But right now, you know, we're just passionate Disney fans and get it out there. And, you know, it's great to start your Friday off with, you know, some Epcot background. I mean, I love that. It takes me to my, you know, vacation memories, and hope everybody else enjoys that as well.
That's really cool. It's neat that there's a company that size that kind of, you know, has a light touch. And, you know, one of my hobbies is, and I know a bunch of people in this industry where they put up the huge over the top Christmas displays, and, you know, it's animated and it's, you know, usually synced to sound. And there's always a lot of Disney music that is out there in those shows. And to my knowledge, I don't know of anybody that's ever received anything from Disney saying, hey, knock it off or stop using our copyrighted material. They do from plenty of other artists, but not Disney. So I think that's pretty cool that, you know, a company that big, which, you know, would have a lot to gain by aggressively protecting their copyright, lets the fans, you know, really just, you know, take the things that they've created and do some really cool things like that with it. That's awesome.
I totally agree with you. I mean, because it's something that it lets the fan of Disney parks, of Disney movies, of, you know, classic Disney music, get out there and kind of express themselves and put their take on, like you said, like Christmas light displays, holiday displays, And it's something I think is beneficial to the company, but I'm sure, you know, it's Disney. They're keeping a tight eye on a lot of things and an ear to the ground, but I think it's, you're right. I'm right with you that it is nice that they do let us have a little leeway to express our love for their company, because we are definitely spending the money to go there. Oh man, I don't want to look at my credit card this month.
I can imagine. I have to admit, I have not been to a Disney property since I was a kid, and I've got everybody, you know, Jeff and, you know, the Scott and Lou and all of the guys yelling at me, you got to get there. And, you know, I'm in a relationship now, and my girlfriend has a daughter who just turned 5, and, you know, the pressure is mounting that it's, you know, the time to get to, you know, something magical. So that's probably going to be in my near future.
5's the perfect time. Let me tell you, I have a 7-year-old daughter, and you'll melt when you get down there. It's amazing to see the kids and, you know, everybody. It's a great place. So I hope when you go down there, it's as magical as a lot of my experiences have been.
I hope so, because I'm coming after you, Jeff, if I don't have a magical time. I'm holding you personally responsible.
All you have to do is take me with you.
Yeah, because it's not already expensive enough.
Well, you know, one more person, what's it really going to cost?
$100 a day? Plus come on, lodging
free dining's
and food?
Coming out soon. Oh, wait, did I just say that? No, take that out. Just kidding.
Okay, yeah.
So I've got a question. Like, I know that you just said there's, what, 80-some podcasts that kind of focus on Disney. And, you know, for the non-initiated, are you guys bringing people who don't know things to Disney? Or is it, you know, just that big of a group of diehard people that it's, you know, you're literally, you know, preaching to the choir? I mean, what's the outreach of, you know, avid fans versus non-avid fans? Do you have any kind of handle on that?
You know, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I'll tell you that, you know, I listen to probably 5 or 6 Disney podcasts, you know, every time they come out. And then I also kind of listen to some other podcasts, listen to, you know, your guys, listen to, you know, technology ones like Leo Laporte, mm-hmm. the Twit Network. I listen to a lot of those. I listen to, There's another one called Reply All, which is kind of a new startup. I think I heard about that on your show, actually. So the startup podcast, or read it on a blog or something that was linked. But, you know, what I think this huge number of Disney podcasts has come from is just folks that have listened. And it's exactly my story. You know, I got an iPod for my birthday, I think in 2005, the old 80 gig. And actually, it was a Nano, the first one. The 80 gig came next. My wife gets me these great gifts, and then it turns into a passion. She regrets it the rest of her life. She got me this Nano, and she's like, it was a new thing, like an iPod. And I told her I don't really listen to music very much. She goes, well, you know, it looks like you'll like it. It's technology. So I got on iTunes. That's first time on iTunes, and I searched, and I found Inside the Magic, which was a Disney podcast, one of the very first. And I was shocked. I was like, this is free. You can download this, and there's a new show every week about Disney. So I started listening to that and found a couple more. This was back in 2005 or 2006. And I listened and I loved it. And I said, I want to try that. And so then we started ours in 2008. And I think that's what's happening is we have a lot of listeners who want to have a voice, you know, and like your listeners, like you said at the top of the show, you want to talk back with the hosts, you know, and everybody can now have a voice. And I think that's why there are so many podcasts, and it's great because, you know, as a listener, you have the choice. You can subscribe or not subscribe, or, you know, some podcasts I don't subscribe to, but I listen if there's something coming up and I think that they're going to have something timely. I might not listen to every show, but, you know, it's great to have a voice, and as a listener, more content, the better.
Oh, absolutely. It's amazing the content that's out there that, you know, is free or, you know, is ad supported for the shows. You know, maybe one of these days we'll get to that point ourselves, but yeah, it is amazing. It's out there. It boggles my mind, and I love it. I mean, at this point, I almost never listen to music anymore. It's pretty much 95% talk. I don't know about you, Jeff, but I still pay for like Google All Access, but I don't know why anymore, kind of.
Yeah, I don't listen to music at all. I listen to pretty much 100% podcasts, which, you know, is the talk radio of today. And I can't even tell you the last time I listened to music, to be honest with you. I just enjoy listening to people talk about things that interest me. And
yeah,
I like a lot of different things, so I tend to find a lot of different. Now I do listen to some music podcasts, so that's the one place I guess I do get music. But the radio is the thing of the, it's dead to me.
Yeah. That's the thing. I can't tell my dad that he grew up and he still works in terrestrial radio, and I tell him, you know, podcasts are where it's at. You know, I'll joke with them, but it, no doubt, you know, just this week we got an email from a listener in New Zealand, and you know, he works for this radio station in St. Louis, and he talks about, you know, we're trying to be the number one sports station. They have the Rams and so forth. But I tell him, you know, we have a worldwide reach every week. And when we do a live show, and I joke with him because we do it out of our basement, we have a 896 square foot house here in suburban St. Louis, and I'm podcasting out of my basement on a internet radio station, and we'll have people call in regularly from three different continents. I mean, who would have thought about that? You know, like when I was growing up, I huddled around an AM radio to listen to the St. Louis Cardinals on KMOX here in St. Louis. And, you know, I think people need to realize how much of the future we're living in right now. It's pretty amazing.
It is amazing. I think that he's in the bastion. He's in the bastion of the last good radio thing, though. I mean, NFL, live sports. I mean, I think, you know, I would still occasionally listen to sports talk radio if something interesting is going on. I usually listen to it around draft time to kind of get a feel for, you know, what happened in the NFL draft and how the Colts are looking and all that kind of stuff. But I think he's kind of in that last, I mean, live sports, you know, for TV and for radio is kind of, that's about all that's left, really.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting too. I think that there is still a market for terrestrial radio, but it's got to be shrinking. But there's still a lot of people, like, you know, my parents, they have listened to the podcast, but it's been because I said, hey, go out to the website and click the button and it looks like a play button. And, you know, they have listened to it, but they're not podcast consumers. They're not going to hook up a device in their car. And I think really until you get the auto manufacturers integrating the devices, the capabilities to play podcasts right into, you know, the car audio systems, I think terrestrial still be around, but it is painful to listen to. We had some pretty severe weather this last week. And as I was driving into to my office, I flipped over to what, and I haven't listened to it in years, but it used to be, you know, a fairly respectable local news weather radio station. And they had a morning zoo crew that it was just kind of flabbergasting that that's what they think they have to do to compete. And, you know, you don't get any of that, that deep connection that I think people get when they listen to podcasts. And, you know, you truly feel like, you know, the people on the other end of the microphone, which I think is really cool.
I agree with you there. And I think the great thing about podcasts too, is that podcast hosts seem to get social media better than traditional radio stations, even though they're trying, because I follow a lot of local meteorologists and the radio, you know, the TV personalities, some radio personalities. But I think just by being a podcaster and having to start grassroots style to really, you know, develop relationships with your listeners, which is what podcasting really is all about in the end, you know, it's about finding people with similar passions and being able to share their stories on your podcast and be able to, you know, hear about what's going on. They tell you what you're doing well, what you might need to work on. But I think, you know, the connection with your listeners, it's so direct through Twitter and Facebook and everything else nowadays that it's a really neat thing. And I think, you know, traditional media is having a tough time making that connection, even though they're probably paying their people a lot of money to do that. I think that the podcasters are great at it just because you have to kind of develop from the bottom up.
Yeah, but there's also the whole, you know, I think a lot of the podcasts are doing it because it's something that they enjoy and something that they love. I mean, you know, Jeff and I do this because we really enjoy it. And if we had 10 people listening or 10,000 people listening, and we certainly would rather have the 10,000 listening, you know, we would still be doing this and we would be here. And, you know, we're actually paying for this. I mean, it's a hobby that costs us money. And so I think that you've got that passion. I mean, I don't know what the total number of podcasts out there that are, you know, that are passion projects versus what have, you know, been monetized to some point are, but I feel like, you know, that is what makes it, you feel like you have such a connection because you know that the people are doing it because they really enjoy it or they have a real strong opinion. You know, it's not like I'm getting, you know, 70 grand a year to do this podcast and, you know, whatever, I'll do whatever you say because you're paying me. I'll say what you want me to say. And that's not the case. And, you know, I think that's what also makes it such a, you know, a connection with the people. And I kind of wonder sometimes if we're all a little insane because we're, you know, putting out good content that we're, you know, we're doing it from the heart. And, you know, it's, I wonder if we're hurting ourselves sometimes in the long run because of it.
I think there's a freedom in that though, you know, because we are passionate. You get to pick whatever you want to talk about and it's Absolutely. Your show. But I mean, you're kind of in a co-relationship there with your show, with your listeners, because when we do our podcast, I definitely think of it as kind of the community show, but everybody has found us and is kind of committed to our podcast. And, you know, of course they listen to many, many others, but we're honored that they take the time to tune in 3 days a week to our show. And we always want to make sure that we give them the best content and the best, you know, shot at our podcast each time we open up the mic and make it worthy of their time. But I think you're exactly right. When you're not doing this full time and it is your passion and, you know, you're investing your own money, I think that, you know, that's a freeing thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing. And I think you get that. And we're the exact same way. We're paying money for this, but man, it's a fun hobby.
It is. And I can't even imagine trying to do this more than once a week, let alone three times a week. That's insane to me.
We aren't the smartest people in the world. Let's just say that.
I just don't know how you have the energy to do it, let alone the time.
I don't know either. To tell you the truth, I have to schedule little naps at night and then I get up and teach school the next day. So we'll make it.
So Mike, you know, I know you like tech stuff. So what have you been excited about that's happened at Disney? I mean, you know, there have been a lot of changes. Some people think for the better, some people think for the worse. I mean, what are you excited about that they're doing?
Man, you know, the biggest thing, I guess, that touches most guests is the Magic Bands and the what's called the My Disney Experience, which is basically you set up an online profile through Disney and, you know, you can make room requests for your hotel and you can have your what are called Fast Pass Plus reservations, which guarantees you three attractions each day in one of the big theme parks to get in there with little to no wait. I just think that it's neat that you know, the Disney experience is changing as technology changes. And now you can use, you know, your Magic Band, which is like a wristband, which you guys broke way back on Betamouse again. Have to keep saying that because you guys called it something else, I remember, but it was the Magic Band for sure. And, you know, it's just neat to see that. Now the Apple Watch will be coming out here soon and you'll be able to use that for payment. Disney's behind that, which is going to be the same thing as the Magic Band. So I'm worried if I get an Apple Watch, I'll be in this conundrum that, you know, do I use my Magic Band or do I use my Apple Watch? Which one's cooler? You know, so I don't know. I think it's kind of cool because I was lucky enough last year when Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, their newest attraction, opened. We were invited down to the media event put on by Disney as our podcast. And we got to go to a big old luncheon with Samantha Brown from the Travel Channel, where they told us about My Disney Experience and the benefits. And it really got us fired up because Disney is, the fans of Disney say Disney moves very, very slowly, which they do with a lot of things. I agree, but at least they're moving in the right direction and they don't always get things right in technology at first, but they stick with it. And usually it ends up being all right in the end. So I know we're not talking to a lot of Disney fans, but I think Jeff, you can relate that if you trust Disney, usually it turns out okay, but sometimes there's some rough patches getting there.
I think they've made a ton of changes just in the last, I mean, if you think about all the different things that have come through in technology wise since Betamouse is off the air, which has only been what, three years?
Yeah, about 3 years.
Maybe four. Yeah, 3 years. I mean, it just, to me, they're moving faster than they ever have. I mean, there's just been so many changes.
Well, yeah. And as an IT person, I can tell you that, you know, launching a big product or a big integration is not easy. I mean, people think, well, it should just work, but there are usually a ton of moving parts behind the scenes that most people don't pay any attention to, that there's gotchas at every turn to make things, you know, smooth and seamless. It's hard to make things effortless. And, you know, I know Disney is a company that does that, and that's not an easy thing to do.
You know, I'm still mad about the Gowalla thing going away. That bothers me. I had a lot of patches or stickers or whatever they were called.
Yeah.
About that and bring that back, Jeff. Come on.
Okay. You got to educate me. I don't know what that is.
Describe it, Jeff. I can't even remember. It was like a check-in system.
It was kind of like Foursquare. It came out around that same time, but the difference was you got like patches for different places that you checked in.
Okay.
It was like a gamification and it was really big in Disney. I mean, there were just tons of places and different things you could check in. I remember
patches, you mean a physical patch?
No, they were virtual. Like check-in.
Okay.
Did you get the on the boat patch? I missed my on the boat patch.
Oh yeah. Cause yeah, we went on a cruise that year and I was like, yes, I got one for the cruise. I'm on a boat.
Anyway. Yeah. It's been a while. Gowalla's Guado's not been long in the world.
The memories.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay, so you talked about Apple Watch, and you know, I follow you on Twitter and all the usual places. Talk to us. So, you know, the two tech podcast guys here, you know, Jacob and I, we're kind of meh on the Apple Watch. So tell us, why are we wrong? You are behind this.
Well, you guys, everybody that I talk to almost says, you know, don't get it. Like, even, you know, I listened to, like I said, Leo Laporte. He's like, don't get this one. Get the second generation. They'll fix a bunch of stuff. But I'm just one of those people that I don't want to wake up the morning after the pre-order and say, oh, I wish I would have gotten that watch and it's sold out and I won't get one till August, you know, because I just, that's me. And it is expensive. But the thing is, and this is just, it doesn't make sense. It's like the Disney thing. People go down there because they're passionate. They trust the company. They pluck down more money than they need to pluck down for a Disney vacation a lot of times. And I'm the same way with my Apple devices. I even tried to justify it today in class to my sixth grade students, telling them how, you know, I have my MacBook, I have my iPhone 6 Plus, I have, you know, this and that, that's an Apple product. And I ended up telling them that I enjoy technology. You know, it's one thing that I get a lot of happiness out of. I know this thing probably isn't going to be perfect, but I think I'll have a good time, you know, having Mickey Mouse tap his foot is a watch, you know, and being able to, I'm a runner. So there's a lot of health kit stuff on there that's going to help me out beyond just being a pedometer. I'm excited to try that out. And you know what? I don't think I'll regret it. I think I'll enjoy the device. I don't think it'll be perfect. I think there'll be a lot of issues, and not a lot of issues, but a lot of things that will be improved over the next year to 2 to 3 years. I think it'll get much better very rapidly with so many people using this device. But I have lots of cases where I think it'll improve technology usage and make it easier for me, like driving, responding to a text message, or you know, like when I'm out on my run, being able to see notifications without pulling out an iPhone. So, you know, I'm justifying it to you guys right now why I need to spend $399 on an Apple Watch. But we'll see. I enjoy technology.
Okay, well, that tells us what you're going to get then. You're going to get the 42 millimeter aluminum. And what color band and or aluminum are you getting? Come on.
Oh, yeah, it's in my cart already. I'm ready to go. But yeah, I'm getting the space gray and the black band and the sport. You know, I could go edition, but I don't roll like Henry Work. You know, I have to go sport this time.
You know, I think that you should get the $17,000 one. Why wouldn't you? I mean,
if you're going to go home, you know, go home or go big, that's right. Or go big or go home or whatever. But I think I'd go to jail because I don't think I, you know, my Jeep barely cost 17 grand and I've been paying for that thing for 6 years. So I think
the real truth, Jacob, is that he's waiting for the second edition when they come out with the platinum.
Half platinum, half gold. Yeah, you know, the biggest thing, and I have to admit, I'm usually not one for like kitschy watch things, but every time I see the commercial with the Mickey Mouse tapping his toe, I got to admit, I go, that's cool. I would have that on a watch. That does really, for whatever reason, resonate with me. I've never wanted a Mickey Mouse watch until I saw that one. I like it. The battery life thing still kills me. I mean, I even understand first generation limited functionality, but you know, the estimates that you'll be lucky to get 18 hours of battery life and you're going to have to charge it every night. I just, man, I'm really struggling to see, you know, how that's going to fit into a regular rotation. But I'm the kind of person that I put a watch on and then I don't take it off for weeks. I mean, I wear it around the clock. I sleep in it. I shower in it. And, you know, that's just the way I do.
Well, see, I don't wear a watch at all because, you know, I haven't worn a watch since I got my first iPhone. I guess it was the 3G. And, you know, because again, Apple has taught us that you don't really need a watch because the phone has your time and it has everything you need on there. And so now I'm switching back to wanting to go to a watch, and I see myself, you know, just putting that next to my iPhone 6. I have a bed stand right next to the bed, plugging in the phone, plugging in the watch, and, you know, going in the morning. And the way I look at it, especially in Jeff, you've gone around the parks a lot. One of the things you have to really watch on a Disney vacation for somebody that tweets and Facebook updates as much as I do when I'm on vacation and puts Instagram pictures up and videos and stuff is that your battery drains really quickly. So I have an external battery that I use with my iPhones. But the way I look at the watch is that if, you know, ideally for notifications and really light tasks, things that, you know, not posting to media or anything, but just notification wise, maybe I can keep that iPhone in my pocket a little bit longer and save battery life on the main device. You know, and if the watch goes out, the watch goes out, you know, at 10 o'clock at night, not a big deal because I'll still have my time and everything on my phone. But yeah, I hope the battery life does get better. But I'm one of those that, you know, I have a Fitbit that I wear every day, but I can't wear it in the shower because I have the one that's not waterproof. So I have to take it off once a day, and it does bug me, but it's just become, you know, just a force of habit. That's what you do. You take it off, you put it back on, and go for the day. So I'm with you, though. I wish it would, you know, hey, make it last a week and we're really talking.
I will say this, and I don't know what the adoption rate for people who are using HealthKit connected apps and just HealthKit itself are. But, you know, if you've got a Fitbit or something like that and you really use that, I could definitely see a compelling case for the Apple Watch because, you know, it does all of those things. It does all of the notifications. It has the deep integrations. And, you know, I've started using the HealthKit app. I've been using it now for probably 6 months to, you know, log vital statistics. If I go to the doctor, get the blood pressure, get the weight, it tracks your steps, you know, all of that stuff. And it's actually a really nice package that I don't know how many people are really taking advantage of. So yeah, if you've already, you know, bought into the idea of, you know, measuring your fitness and using something like a Fitbit or something like that, I do see that the Apple Watch could be a more elegant solution to kind of slide into that role. And don't get me wrong, I really like the idea of having one. I just don't like the idea of spending $400 more than I like the idea of having one.
Well, see, I'm going to have to, because I've been really thinking about this, and I like the, you know, the extended things that it will give us in the way of health as far as the Apple Watch. But my issue is that obviously Fitbit's not going to have integration with the Apple Watch because they want to sell their bands. Right. You know, that's what we're going to do. So I'm going to probably end up wearing both because with our podcast, and we've had many, many great things happen, but one of the greatest things that's grown out of our podcast is that we have a running team now associated with our podcast. We have over 350 members of our running team, and many, many of us now have all bought Fitbits. So we're all pushing each other for daily goals and weekly goals, and we'll have weekend warrior challenges to see who gets the most steps. And because of this, I've had my Fitbit since Christmas 2013. You know, I've really gotten active and I've dropped 65 pounds. So it's a big deal. I mean, it gets you going. It keeps you moving. I'm very competitive. I don't like to lose. And that's bad if you have a Fitbit. So it'll keep you moving constantly. Sitting down for this podcast is killing me. I'm just kidding. But it's one of those things that, you know, it's not going to be perfect. I'm going to have to wear both until my Fitbit finally conks out. And I know like Fitbit's probably, maybe it's peaked now and then it's going to move over to other wearables and, you know, things like Apple Watch. But for right now, we have a great community built up. And I think that's a selling point for Fitbit, you know, because I really don't want to give up, you know, my connections and my, you know, 12 million steps I've logged on my Fitbit account. I don't want to give that up. I want all my patches. Again, back to GoWalla. I don't want to lose all those little virtual patches. I guess I'm like a patch hoarder or something. I don't know.
Well, one of the interesting things when you read the current reviews for people that have had the watch is that there is no social aspect to the fitness portion of the Apple Watch. So you can't share your statistics from the Apple Watch across, you know, to other people. And you know, that is a big deal in the Fitbit community. And so they're not really competing on that, you know, at that level, because there's no, you know, you can't create a team and say, okay, everybody go get an Apple Watch and, you know, we'll create this team on Apple to, you know, have the steps. They're not going to have that level of, social interaction there.
I think they will though.
Do you?
I think that it's so easy to do through an app. I just think that they'll eventually go that route because that's how you just take out Fitbit, you know, and things like the Fuel Band and Nike, you know, well, Nike's pretty much gone, but you know, you take out everybody else by making it communal. I mean, unless they're really staunchly against that for some moral reason, but it's getting people up and getting people moving. And it's changed my life because of the community, you know, and having this friendly competition. And I know a lot of other people as well.
I don't disagree with you. I think it would be a good idea for them to do it. They do not have a good track record of social. Apple does not do social well. They've tried several times in other areas and have failed miserably.
But what if they bought Fitbit?
Well, yeah.
You know, they've been known to just like, let's don't do this on our own. Let's just drop a little dime and, you know, kind of Beats this thing and we'll go from there.
Yeah, but Beats is really the first thing that they've ever spent significant money on.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, they just have such a, you know, they have so much money that I think that, you know, any problem they want to solve, they can do it that way. And I don't know. I'm throwing things out there and we'll wait and see what happens. But, you know, again, if you wanted to take the power of the Apple Watch, and I think it's got lots of potential with what it can do in the fitness areas, but Fitbits is social, you know, merge the two and you really have a win.
Oh, yeah. Apple's really struggled at social though. I mean, they had, what was that iTunes social that they tried, Jeff? Ping, I think it was called.
Yeah, it was. You're right. It was Ping. It was a disaster.
I don't know. I wait for the headline that Apple is taking some of their $180 billion war chest and buying something, but I just don't know that it's coming. I wish that I could be in some of those boardroom meetings because it would be really interesting to, you know, understand their position and why they don't just do some huge shakeup things like that. I don't understand it. Especially with as invested as Cook is into health and fitness and things like that.
That's it. I think you have the right guy at the helm there. Exactly. Yeah.
I hope they end up doing something. I wish I could pull the trigger and get one. The biggest problem I have, like, I don't like wearing rubber band and the, whatever they call it, elastopolymer, blah, blah, blah. It's rubber. It's a rubber band. And
No, Jeff, that's just a fancy way of saying expensive rubber.
Well, that's nice. It just doesn't do anything for me. So if I were to get one, I'm going to throw my money at either a leather band or probably the Milanese band. And then you're starting to talk about, okay, so if I got an aluminum with the Milanese band, that would look okay. Cause I've seen it, you know, at least in pictures and it looks good, but that's another $150. And so then I'm talking about $550 and it's like, I can't do it. I don't know.
Yeah. It's especially tough when you consider it's a product that's going to be revamped every 12, 18, 24 months. That makes it tough.
I wish they would. And I understand why they're not. I wish they would tell us how often are they going to update this? Is this going to be a once a year cycle like the iPhone and the iPad, or is it going to be, you know, a 2 or 3 year cycle?
I'm sure this one will be probably for the second Apple Watch, I would guess 12 months on it because they're going to get, you know, lots of feedback and really want to jump on this and make it better. But my biggest thing on these kind of things is that I, you know, and again, learned this from Betamouse, you know, way back in the day, but I resell all my old electronics to Gazelle, you know, in places like that. So,
sure,
you know, that's the plan with this one that I haven't even pre-ordered yet is that I'll use it, resell it for as much as I can get and get the next one and kind of use that to offset the cost of the upgrades, which is what I do every iPhone because I only get iPhones on the full number cycle. But that's kind of how I handle it, you know, and it's just one of those things, you know, I look at how I tend to spend my money. I don't drink, I don't smoke, you know, there's a lot of things that I could be spending my money on that I don't. Technology is one thing that I get a lot of joy out of. So,
oh, no, I mean, I think,
you know, and I work, you know, I have a couple jobs, so that's what I'm going
to
spend it on.
Yeah. I think that's a good way to do it.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I'm the same way. And quite honestly, like I just recently bought a new MacBook Pro. So I kind of blew my wad on technology money there. So that's probably why I'm holding off. If I hadn't done that, I bet I would have gotten one. But yeah.
Well, when you get your watch up to the price of a MacBook Pro or, you know, like a MacBook Air, you know, just the MacBook, when it, you know, because when you get some of these bands, all of a sudden you're looking at a price that is very similar to, you know, almost like an, you know, getting an iMac or, you know, a MacBook. I mean, that's when I think it gets a little bit tough to swallow because you're looking at this little bitty thing on your wrist and you could have had, you know, a full on computer that you can do so much more with. You know, I think that it's that $399 price is like really at my threshold. Like I don't want to pay that, but if it was any higher then I definitely would not be pulling the trigger.
I wish it were $299, I think I would have pulled the trigger. It's $100 too much for me.
But here's the thing. They're going to sell every single one that they make.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah.
I think that they know what they're doing.
No.
And, you know, I would love one of the stainless steels with the stainless steel band. I mean, that would be nice, but that's like $1,200.
Yeah.
And man, that's a lot of money for a watch that I'm going to keep for 35 years. And, you know, just buying a nice watch, let alone a gadget that, you know, okay, even if they keep the software so that it survives 2 or 3 cycles of, you know, all of the different iWatch software updates, it's eventually going to, I mean, it's got a battery in it, it's technology, it's going to die in 5 years. I mean, it's just not going to be useful.
Yeah, it's not going to be an heirloom like the, you know, most expensive watches can become. You can pass it down and, you know, it's something that's treasured. But, you know, the interesting thing, again, is the guts, you know, of the sport are going to be the same as the guts of the addition. That shocks me that if you're paying the big money for the addition, I can't imagine that you're not getting at least, you know, some kind of better processor, some kind of longer battery. That it becomes cosmetic. I guess that, you know, maybe I don't understand fashion. And if you've seen how I dress, you know that I don't understand fashion. So I guess that's where it all ends. You know, this is, you know, Apple, and again, in technology, is really kind of merging into a lifestyle brand with this.
Absolutely. And the addition is a status symbol. I mean, you know, someone who's going to spend that money is going to do it because either it's such a, to them, relatively tiny amount of money that they just, who cares? Or it is going to be a conspicuous display of their status. And I mean, that's good for Apple for being able to sell in that market, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to, like, if you buy a Mont Blanc ballpoint pen for $500, does it really write any differently than, you know, a $20 pen? No, it doesn't. It writes the same.
I would argue, though, that, you know, there is some inherent value because you'll be able to resell it later at, you know, maybe not what you paid for it, but there it does hold some intrinsic value because people value that brand. And I mean, I don't know if that's going to be the case with the Apple Watch, simply because, you know, once electronics and technology is obsolete, it's obsolete. It doesn't matter.
Well, that's true to a certain standpoint, but with the addition, I don't know, because they're saying, you know, they also haven't said how limited it's going to be. So, you know, you talk about how much did the Apple One just sell for?
Oh, I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars, but how many of them are there out there?
Well, not many, but, you know, the Apple Watch, if you look at it at the edition, let's say they make 1,000 of them. I'm sure they're going to make more than that, but whatever the number is that they're going to make, I mean, it is going to be a limited number, right? And, you know, if you kept that for 20 years, you know, who knows?
Yeah. If you kept it in its original package for 20 years, but if it's banged up and scraped up, is it, I don't know. I mean, it is still a chunk of gold and there's intrinsic value there. And I don't know that Apple's announced it, but I assume that, you know, maybe for both the, I don't even remember now what they're calling the middle just, stainless steel the level.
Apple
there's
Watch.
What Sport and Apple Watch and right. then Edition, right? So maybe for the Edition and the Apple Watch, it'll be that there is some sort of a, you take it in and they'll replace the guts. How often are they going to change the body style? Are they going to do that every cycle? That seems like it's going to be hard for them to do because they're going to have to redesign all the bands every time. I don't know. I'm interested to see where they go with it, but I just am not ready to pull the trigger yet.
I think the thing that sold me, and I read an article on iMore a couple days ago saying that if you really look at it, you know, if you buy the Sport, you're paying approximately $1 a day for that Sport, you know, over the first year.
Okay.
And if you resell it after a year to a place like Gazelle, that helps in your upgrade cycle. And reading that, and again, you know, I was looking for justification because I love Apple products. I mean, I'm an Apple enthusiast. I like what they do. But when I got it down to $1 a day, do I get $1 a day enjoyment out of that device? And I think I
will.
Yeah. You know, so it's one of those things. I don't want to regret it. I think I'll enjoy it.
Darn you, because now I'm thinking, yeah, I could get $1 a day enjoyment out of that.
I just won't have coffee.
But then, you know what? Yeah, I spend at least $1.85 every day on coffee.
Yeah, but you know what's going to happen? You're going to go get that watch, and you're still going to buy the coffee. Therein lies the problem, sir.
Oh, I know my own flaws. You don't have to point those out.
Okay, so another, since you're the Apple guy, did you upgrade to iOS 8.3, Mike?
I have not. That's on the agenda for tonight. It's not that I didn't want to jump on it. I just haven't actually. The light didn't light up on my settings app there. And when it does, that bugs the crap out of me. So it didn't bug me yet, so I didn't do it, but I'm doing it tonight.
Well, let me tell you.
Maybe you don't want to.
Yeah, you might not want to.
Okay, so I just heard that there's some new sounds with the calls maybe or something. So what's going on with it? I haven't heard yet.
As you might imagine, when I saw that iOS 8.3 came out yesterday, I immediately said, I'm getting it right now. I want those different colored emojis and I want them now. So
you need the Vulcan debt, the Vulcan.
No,
salute?
I actually prefer to send all my, you know, emojis as a non-yellow person. I prefer, you know.
Oh, okay.
Different colors. But anyway, so
what happened, you know, Jeff?
So I immediately hit the button. I checked. I have plenty of space. I got the 64 gig phone, so I got, you know, plenty of space. I don't need to worry about that. Hit the button up, and I even went, like, I went to iMore and I looked at some of the comments, and everybody was like, yeah, you know, it worked great, yay. And I hit the button, and it goes through its thing, and the little bar is going across the bottom, and I'm getting so excited. It's getting, there's only a little bit, about a centimeter left, and it goes, you need to plug your phone into iTunes. No. And so then my phone is dead for the rest of the day. And I come home and I plug it in to my MacBook and it starts up again. And I'm like, oh, yay, it starts up again. And it goes all the way to the end. And then it pops up and says, oh, your upgrade has failed. We need to reformat your phone and start over again. I'm like, okay, great. So fine. And so it goes through and does its thing, gets to the end, and it says, okay, do you want to restore from a backup? And I'm like, well, yeah, I do actually. So I click restore from a backup, and it, you know, it does its thing, and it takes forever. And so it has to download all the apps again, and it, you know, it brings all my data, and I'm like, look, oh, look, you know, I'm still at the same place in my games. I get it all done. I'm like, yay, it's done, finally. And I go last night to pay at McDonald's for an ice cream cone for my kid, and I go to hit Apple Pay, and nothing happens. And I do it again, and nothing happens.
You had to be a barbarian and take out a credit card or use cash.
I didn't have cash. I
didn't know.
I just had my phone. And so I open up Passbook and there's no credit cards there. And I'm like, well, okay. I said, you know, and my son works at the McDonald's. It wasn't a big deal, but you know, they were like, no problem. Bring us stuff later. Bring us the money. Okay. And so I start looking at it and I'm like, well, I just have to re-add the cards, except for there's no place to re-add the cards. There's no plus button for me to add the cards. There's no settings for me to add the cards. There's nothing about credit cards. All that's in Passbook is my Starbucks card, because it's not a credit card. It's, you know, a rewards card. And I can add a new rewards card, but I can't add a credit card. And I start looking and searching the interwebs and find a lot of people talking about iOS 8.1 having a similar problem. And the solution is that, you know, on these ones that I'm reading for 8.1 is, well, something got messed up and your region code isn't the United States and you just need to go change that. So I go and look, nope, region code's United States. And they're like, well, you know, some other people were saying, well, my, you know, iTunes account, it said that it was in Canada instead of the United States. So I go and look at that. Nope, United States. And then people, well, so you just have to do, you know, just do another reset of your phone. So I reset my phone and still no Apple Pay. And I totally hard reset the whole thing, set it up as a brand new phone, no Apple Pay. I'm like, okay, this, and I use Apple Pay, and I've talked about that on the show. I mean, I use it any place that I can, and I specifically go to places so that I can use it. And I was really frustrated. And, so I went to the Apple store today and they had to give me a new phone, which, oh, man. Okay, fine. I mean, they were like, yep, we're going to get you a new phone. We don't know what's going on. We don't know why this worked. And I will tell you that I extremely impressed with the genius that I talked to at the Genius Bar, because he said, you know, what's going on? And I said, okay, you know, here's what I did. Here's what happened. I said, you know, I went through the whole spiel that I just gave you, and he just believed me. He didn't like say, well, I'm going to try it or I'm going to reset it. He was just like, yeah, that sounds not good. Let me go get you a new phone. So, you know, I got the new phone, and I, at the store, I took my MacBook with me. I did the restore, and the restore after I got the new phone appeared to work. The Apple Pay worked fine. No problems. But for whatever reason, this restore that I did on the new phone did not bring all my settings and all my information with me. So it's been basically like I've been setting up a new phone all day, which is not the funnest experience in the world. And now I've got things that aren't working that were working before. So, and it's just been extremely frustrating. And I understand, you know, Apple has a lot of stuff going on, but it just, it scares me a little bit, the amount of bugs in the last few releases of iOS, because, and there are some other bugs, that I've noticed that I can forgive. Like, right now, if you go to purchase something from the, App Store, you have to type your password in, even if you have it set up to use your touch.
That's ID. Not affecting all users though. I thought I read it's just affecting some people.
Yeah. I don't have to do that,
but you're not on the 8.3 yet.
No, that's so, right. That's so right. Okay.
Beware.
And I won't be for a while after this story, because you've got me in a cold sweat. Let me just tell you.
Wait for 8.3.1.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to suggest at this point, guys, because I got a couple apps that aren't working. And my thing I love from last episode, which was Dungeon Hunter 4, I can't play anymore. I lost all my progress in the game, and which to me, you know, like, that really upsets my kids when they lose all their progress. To me, it's like, well, I get to do all these things all over again. So that doesn't bother me, right? Except for now the game won't even freaking work. So I assume that that's an 8.3 thing, because it worked before, but I don't even know at this point. So yeah, little frustrated. No Dungeon Hunter 4 for me for a while, I guess.
But you saved all of us.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you. You know, I get nervous on the full number upgrades, you know, like when you're going to a whole new, you know, like 7 or, you know, 8, like those freak me out and I wait, you know, because I know, like, I've learned my lesson. I don't want a brick, you know, but the incremental updates I usually go for, because they're usually just bug squashers. So, but I think, again, that gets back to the beauty of a podcast. You get the message out there, and you know what? Hey, because otherwise, if you're isolated and you don't have this kind of a connection, you don't know. You're like, hey, hit the button. It's because I'm not going to hit the button tonight, and I'm going to be much. I'll be able to sleep, because if that happened, I wouldn't sleep for 2 days.
But you did it. You did 8.3, didn't you, Jake?
I was going to say. I will say now. I have a 5S, so I am trash because I'm not on the current revision. So Jeff barely talks to me in real life because of that. but I will admit,
that's the only reason Jacob likes doing the podcast, because I've quit talking to him in real life.
But I did the update, and it did seem to go smoothly. Although I did notice one thing, which is when I came back in, I actually tried to send Jeff a text last night, and it was to his iCloud account, and my phone came up and said, "You don't have iMessage turned on." And it wouldn't let me send it. And I had to go into the settings and flip it back on. So it just, for some strange reason, turned off iMessage. And I noticed that I had been using SwiftKey as a third-party keyboard. And it had been kind of buggy for me for a while. When 8.2 came out, I had heard some people say that it fixed some of the problems with third-party keyboards. And I was still having issues. And last night, my keyboards were acting up. Basically, there's a bug where it mostly manifests in Messages, where you bring up your Messages app and there's no keyboard and you have to force quit and go back into it. And then the third-party keyboard will pop up. And it was doing that in Messages. It was doing that in Safari. It was doing it in Mail. And I kept having to force quit. So in a fit of frustration, I took SwiftKey off last night, which is a dang shame, because I really, really like SwiftKey, but it is just not stable under iOS. I really hope that they fix their internal infrastructure stability issues with 9, because frankly, 8 has been pretty bad. I mean, just all the way across the board. So I don't know. I mean, I get it's hard to do. And what was it? They added like thousands of new APIs and when they announced 8. But it's been kind of rocky for Apple. And that's been a swing and a miss that's rare for them since they, you know, really started just crushing it back in 2007 with the first iPhone. So I hope they get it better. It worked for me, knock on wood. But you might want to wait and see if 8.3.1 comes out in the next couple of days.
So, Mike, is there anything tech? I know you said you were happy that you were going to be on a tech podcast. Is there anything tech related that you would like to talk about? And if not, we'll head towards the final segment of our show.
You know, I just love being able to, you know, take in content through things like podcasts and, you know, just the internet is still amazing to me. And I know I sound old, but I really feel like I'm, you know, still on the younger side of things, but it's amazing because I've met people from around the world, You know, Jeff, we've got to meet briefly. I wish we could have met at Las Fuentes a couple weeks ago. That killed me that you were there and I wasn't, but we had eaten there the night before and we were going there the next night. And if I would have asked my wife to go there three nights in a row, I might have been divorced. We had an event going on that night anyway, but it's just really nice that, you know, you can have content like this, you know, just like your show to talk tech, because if I would have stumbled across a show like this on terrestrial radio when I was, you know, 15, 16, it would have been heaven, you know, and now it's so readily available. So, you know, I just love being able to tune in and learn something and, you know, hang out with some buddies. So, it's a very cool time to be alive, I think. And I know it sounds so philosophical, but it really is. You know, sit back and think about where we've come since I ran a BBS back on a Commodore 64 and about five or six old 1541 floppy drives. It's a cool time.
So I have a question, because I was a BBS operator for a while back in the 90s too. And I don't know about you. I don't know how old you are. I'm going to guess we're about the same age. I'm almost 40. And at that time, I could only run it overnight because it was the only time I could convince my parents to let me tie up the phone line. So from about 8:30, 9 o'clock, which was my mother's definition of way too late to call unless someone is dead, until about 5 o'clock in the morning, I could have the BBS up. But short of that, I couldn't. So, man, that brings back memories talking about stuff like that.
Yeah, it does. I was lucky that for one Christmas, my parents got me, because they saw that I had a passion for this. But the thing I regret is that I never learned how to program or code or anything like that. I just learned how to, you know, like mod the software very lightly. But I had a passion for like making the connection with people through our message forums and, you know, just that kind of thing, which is ironically enough what we do with the podcast and the radio station nowadays. But, you know, I got a phone line, a second phone line in our house, which was really unheard of back then, you know, in the mid 1980s, because I'm 41.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, I had 24-hour BBS, you know, went to Service Merchandise and bought that 2400 baud modem instead of a 1200 baud. Actually, we started 300 baud. So we got up to 2400 and we had a 10 gigabyte hard drive. And I mean, that was like unlimited, you know, we'll never fill that sucker. You know, and I'm walking around with the 64 gigabyte iPhone in my pocket all the time now. So times, they've changed. But I think, you know, when you grew up in that kind of an environment running a BBS, like you said, many of them were just run at night, you know, because that's when the phones weren't tied up. And when you were in that environment and now to see what we have, it is just, it's awe inspiring. It really is.
Oh yeah. It's crazy. And, you know, I think back, you know, I knew a lot of the BBSs around the Indianapolis area that I called way back then were guys, you know, who are my age now, who, you know, it was like the hobby. It was the podcasting of the day. They had, you know, they had a separate phone line and they had a computer. Some of them had two phone lines and a couple of modems, and that was kind of what they did and how they reached out. And I remember going to, you know, some of the BBS meetups and stuff like that, and gosh, playing Trade Wars. I played Trade Wars way more than I want to actually admit on the air that I did. And I think you can actually find it out there on the internet. So if you are a you know, nostalgic for that stuff, you can actually go out and play Trade Wars through a web browser, which is really kind of cool.
There's a couple still out there running on emulators, like Color 64 boards and stuff. It's pretty amazing.
Oh, that's cool. You know, I've got one question for you. I don't know. I just really quickly, and it's just because, you know, I am a hardware geek, and, you know, I'm always curious to hear what people have. And, you know, listening, you know, it sounds like you've got a great setup. You know, your audio sounds really nice. And you mentioned, you know, your dad was in radio and was an engineer, and you've got your studio. You know, what kind of setup are you guys running? You know, what are you doing that to get out there? And what does your setup look like? If you could just maybe talk for a minute or two on, you know, how you on the hardware end of things. I know that it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. I'm just curious.
But you got to have your choice, you know.
That's right. I keep saving my pennies for better stuff.
It's very similar. You know, I have a studio mic that my dad, a few years ago, he was, and for folks that don't really understand how radio works, my dad would, he was a DJ overnights on four or five different stations in different parts of the country. So he would, what's called voice track it. So in the afternoon, he would record all the breaks, and then basically they drop it into a computer that plays the music. And, It sounds like my dad's right there in Kentucky, you know, here in St. Louis every night, you know, Dodie Rahlman on the air in Kentucky. Even though he lives in St. Louis, he was doing it out of his condo. Every once in a while, he would give a wrong score because he would record it before the game ended, and there'd be a great ninth inning comeback. And all of a sudden, people think he's drunk or something. But no, so you know, he quit doing that stuff to focus on the station here. So he's not broadcasting on the air anymore. So I kind of inherited the studio microphone. I had an old mixer, you know, 7-channel mixer that I use for various things. So I run everything through a mixer, and I basically just run everything through a PC. And we record on Cool Edit Pro from way back in the day, which is very similar to Adobe Audition. But, you know, as much as I've talked about my passion for Apple, just because of a comfort level, we record everything through a PC. So
I haven't heard of Cool Edit in I don't know how long. That's funny. That's another blast from the past.
Yeah, I'm an old timer here.
That's very cool. You guys are
both young.
Yeah, it's always fun to get gadgets and talk about gadgets. But, you know, again, at the end of the day, it's amazing that we can do this with, you know, relatively no hardware at all. I mean, not compared to what a radio station needs. So that's amazing.
It is. It's very accessible nowadays, and it makes it fun. And again, more content, more fun, and people get to express their passions, which I'm very excited about.
Very cool.
So, Mike, we do a segment at every end of the show, and it's called What We Love. And
oh, wait, I thought it was going to be the final four, but oh, wait, that's another show. Go ahead.
And so we talk about an app, a gadget, a thing, you know, whatever, honestly, that we,
something you're geeking out about.
So I'll start. If you have something, great. If you don't have something, that's okay too. What I love right now, Microsoft just released a new, application for iOS. It's called the Microsoft Office Lens. And there have been, several apps of this type over the years of iOS, but it basically is a scanning application. And however, Microsoft put a really good app out. It is amazing at what a good job this app does. You take a picture of paper, business card, whatever, and it auto corrects for skew. It reads any words and translates that out into text away from the image. It, with business cards, will automatically create a contact for you. And the nice thing is that with your free OneDrive storage from Microsoft, it goes directly to that. You can then use that in Excel, Word, PowerPoint, any of the different apps that they have now provided for iOS. And it is really slick. I would highly recommend, if you are anyone that ever has business cards handed to you and you hate with a passion keeping those said business cards for any length of time, do what I do and use Microsoft Office Lens and just snap a picture of it and then throw that card away.
Yeah. And you said that's an iOS app?
It is an iOS app. Yes.
Downloading now.
Absolutely.
It's a great app.
I got to say, Microsoft has really been killing it with, you know, apps for other platforms besides, you know, Windows tablet and Windows phone. The Microsoft Outlook app on iOS is it's a phenomenal app. My biggest complaint is that because it uses Microsoft's cloud servers, my corporations, they won't authorize the connection because it's not staying local, which makes it a shame. But man, it's a really nice app, especially if you have enterprise email that works with it. They hit a home run there, and I've not used, but I've heard that the Office apps on iOS are pretty phenomenal too. The touch enabled Office apps.
The Office apps are amazing. And I know, you know, Mike mentioned that he listened to the Twit Network, and I'm an avid listener as well. And, you know, they've talked about it several times that the Microsoft Office apps for iOS are actually better than the apps that are on the Windows tablets and Windows phone.
Which is something that you never, ever thought you would say.
Yeah, but I mean, they are really good apps.
That's crazy. Huh, very cool. Have you got something, Mike, or do you want me to go?
I can throw in a couple. I feel like Andy Anako right here or something. Oh, this is so cool. this is just unbelievable. But a couple things. One of the things I'm really enjoying, and I've gone through a million calendar apps. You know, I've had Fantastical 2, which I really enjoy. But I'm now switched over to just the Google Calendar iOS app, which I find very clean and easy to use because I have a lot of appointments, and I also work as a travel agent for Disney, so I have to keep track of payment dates and, you know, days to help people schedule dining reservations and so forth. And that one's very clean and easy to use because I do use Google Calendar on the desktop, with my Google account. So the Google Calendar app, and the other one, this is sad because I'm just scanning through my phone kind of last minute. I would say, I can't believe I'm saying this, but every place you go to eat, check to see if they have a mobile app, because I have a folder now that I think I labeled it Hungry, and it's got just a collection of apps, you know, and the thing is that they're getting smarter now because you can connect your credit card with it. For example, and like, you know, Jeff mentioned earlier, he goes places because they take Apple Pay. And so I went to Bread Company for lunch today with my wife, you know, got to zap it. And I feel like I'm in the future when I pay for my bagel and salad or whatever I get. But Chipotle and folks that do that well, you know, you can literally just go to your previous order with a couple clicks, but bam, and you drive through on your way home and your dinner's there. So I don't know how many people, I know you guys have a skewed audience and probably people do this a lot, but, you know, check with your favorite haunts, your favorite, you know, quick service type counter restaurants there. And, you know, it's one of those things that technology makes avoiding the lines a little bit easier. And I think that I get my order correct more times using the app than I do walking up, which is kind of scary because in my area, we have bad luck with our orders being prepared correctly most of the time. So check your Subways, your Chipotles, your Bread Companies and so forth, your Paneras, and grab the apps and make a folder and never have to interact with the person at the counter again. No, yeah. I'm just kidding.
That's a good tip because I don't know if it even exists anymore, but at one point Famous Dave's had an app and I got a free bottle of barbecue sauce, which, hey, two thumbs up. And I found a restaurant one time in Florida that had an app. And if you showed them that you had the app, you got a free bottle of wine with dinner. So you can't beat that. Free bottle of wine.
Very nice.
Awesome. Very cool. Great tips. Okay. So what I love, I actually was talking to Jeff a little bit before we started the podcast and struggling a little bit. It seems like my gadget buying has been on the decline lately and I haven't got a lot of new things for what I love. So I just thought I'd throw this out there.
Well, I love a rainy night. I love a rainy
no,
night.
No, 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 just a, no, no, a little Eddie Rabbit. You don't love the spring weather that we've been having? Oh, it's been glorious. We've had, this wonderful weather. It's been awesome. And I am so glad that we are now getting out of the winter and back into the spring. I love that. That is awesome. I suppose I do have one that is kind of a neat gadget. I've had it for a while, and I had to use it last weekend, so I will throw this one out there. If you ever have a dull knife, well, shame on you. You shouldn't have dull knives. And there's a company called Spyderco who is a cutlery manufacturer. They make pocket knives and kitchen knives and things like that, and they have a product called the Spyderco Sharp Maker. And what it is it's a little, it's kind of a cool thing. It's a self-contained little box. It's about 8 inches long, 2 inches high and 3 inches wide. And inside of that, they've got ceramic stones and a base that will hold those stones at a preset angle for you to sharpen your knife. And then all you do is you take your dull knife and you run it down the stones, holding the knife perpendicular. And that's it. You just do it a few times on each side and you've got a resharpened knife. So over the weekend, this past weekend, I had to break down a bunch of cardboard boxes to cram them into the recycling bin. And what I was left with was a pocket knife that wouldn't cut butter. And after just a couple of minutes on the sharp maker, it was back to being able to shave the hair right off my arm. And I forget just how dang useful the thing is. A couple times a year, I'll break out all the kitchen knives and go at it and keep them nice and sharp because, you know, a dull knife is actually pretty dang dangerous. We've got a couple of old knives that were my girlfriend's that sort of inherited, and I hate those things because, I mean, you might as well just use a brick to cut a tomato with them sometimes. So if you have dull knives, do yourself a favor. Take a strong look at the Spyderco Sharp Maker. It is a great way to get just about any kind of knife sharpened again. I mean, kitchen knives, pocket knives, knives with serrations on them. They've got all kinds of little tricks that the system has built in to sharpen that stuff. Scissors, you don't really think about how you know, your kitchen scissors should need to be touched up, but it all does, and I highly recommend it. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. Go check it out. It's a great little tool. Every house should have one, in my opinion, and now Spyderco can send me some money for saying that.
that's a very sharp
yeah. Okay, well, I think we're actually over an hour now, so I appreciate everybody coming and tuning in and listening. And thank you, Mike, for coming on the show. It was great having you. Before we go, is there anything you want to plug your stuff or anything that you're working on or any cool things that you might have coming up?
We have the podcast comes out Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And once a month, we do a live call-in show at beourguestpodcast.com. You can download the show on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, all over the place. MagicalMouseRadio.com is 24-hour, 7 days a week streaming Disney audio. And hope to have you guys over on the Be Our Guest podcast here soon so we can talk about kind of the convergence of Disney and technology. It'll be kind of beta mouse-ish. But I've enjoyed the time. You guys do a great job of keeping me connected to technology and just two guys kind of sitting around having fun talking about your passions. And I think that's what podcasting is all about. So you guys have a great show. I'm honored to be on it today and hope to come back again someday.
Thank you. I don't want to speak for you, Jeff. I'd love to come on and do your show too.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Awesome. Okay, well, thanks everybody for tuning in. We hope you had as good a time as we did. If you got any questions, you got a rant, you want to point out something that we said that was wrong, and goodness knows we say a lot of wrong stuff. Sometimes we just are wrong, and sometimes we're trying to see if you're on your toes. Feel free to give us a call at 317-643-1212. Again, that's 317-643-1212. You don't even have to talk to a human being. It goes right to a voicemail box. We will listen and we will put it on air unless you don't want us to put you on the air. But we do love when you give us feedback, let us know that you like what we're doing, or, you know, just give us ideas of things that you guys want to hear about. That is awesome. If you want to check with us on Twitter, our Twitter account is @KnowBetterShow. Our website is KnowBetterShow.com. You can always send an email to us, feedback@knowbettershow.com. We read them all, and you know, we'll get back in touch with you if you've got a question. We'll put it on the air if it's funny. We like the participation. If you want to get one of those cool stickers, and you do, because they are really cool, we're giving some away. We've already given a couple away. We still got some left to give out. All you got to do, go over to iTunes. I know some of you don't like iTunes, but just install it for the 15 minutes it takes. Put a review in there. Send us a screenshot of your review with your mailing address. Send it to feedback@knowbettershow.com, and we will whisk a sticker out to you. You can put it on your car. You can put it on your laptop. It will look awesome no matter where you put it. We would appreciate it if you'd tell your friends about us. That is a great way to keep us growing and build an audience. And always, you know, leaving ratings and reviews on iTunes is an awesome way to keep getting us in front of new people. We really, really appreciate that. We will be back next week with some more awesome show. So until then, you should now know better than average too. Have a great week, everybody.
Have a good week, guys.